All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Pound for Pound. I am the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman.
Henry Cejudo, a.k.a. Triple C.
A Shot of Lime production.
And, guys, it's been a little while. Henry, I'm going to say I kind of miss you, dog.
Oh, damn, you is know, that right?
I kind of miss you. We you know. We got to chop it up here and get to share with all the people who spend their time with us during the week and just listening to us and getting our take on specific events, fights or reactions or just things going on in our lives. I feel like they probably missed us too, you know, because I know I definitely missed it. What about you?
Yeah, no, for sure, brother. We had such a great, you know, last 3-4 days that we're together filming a lot of these great, you know, athletes who have done some amazing things. We got a lot coming up. So I'm excited for all the fans. I'm excited for the growth of Pound for Pound. I mean, if you notice, Pound for Pound is being quoted from here all the way to the end of the universe. So we're doing something right, Kush.
That's true. We got a lot of big interviews, and I mean big interviews coming. So you definitely want to stay tuned. And definitely keep letting us know who you guys want to see also on the pod as well. Henry, you got two little ones, right? Running around. You got America and
Enzo.
And what's Enzo?
Enzo's my youngest. He's gonna be one, bro. Can you believe it? He's gonna be one next month, and it goes by so quick. Kamaru, like, I go on trips and I come back and I feel like it's a different human, dude. And I don't like taking off like I used to. You know what I'm saying? Even though sometimes you need a break from a lot of people, including the wifey.
Of course.
but it's hard.
When you're really present and you get to see every step, when you're gone and you come back and they're doing something different, it's like, oh man, I missed that. You know, and I used to, before I became a parent, I used to always say to myself, man, I want to just skip the first 2 years because they're babies. They don't do much. They just, they just lay there. They're completely dependent on you. I want them to, when they're running around, and I want that. And I used to always say that when I was younger until I became a parent. And then when you're there every day, every step of the way, you see them laying there completely dependent on you to them moving their head, start to find you with their eyes. They're locked in on you when you're in the room. Like, my daughter used to be locked in on me. When I walked in the room, she didn't care who else was in the room. She was locked in on me. To the point where you see them discover their fingers, their toes, they start laughing, yeah. You know, and all of those things. So once you go through all of that, man, it's like, man, I can't miss that. You really learn to cherish every step of the way.
Yeah, for sure. But what's going on, Kush? Are you feeling those same feelings? Because, you know, obviously you got to take off, you got to do certain things. Are you feeling some of those vibes that life just goes so quick, right?
Absolutely. And at the end of the day, too, it's you get to a place where it's a process of how you're raising them, what you want to instill in your kids. Because Henry, you and I know, because we've been through it, you and I know that this life is a competition. Whether you like it or not, whether you want to say, I know there's that phrase, or I'm not in competition with anyone but myself. Life is a competition. Everything you do in life is a competition. Because if it wasn't a competition, then everybody would be the same. Everybody would live in the exact same house. Everybody would have the exact same things in their house, drive the exact same car, do everything would be exact same. Some people just happen to work a little harder than some, and they earn a little more. And then, you know, some people use their wits a different ways to where they earn. It's all a separation. It's all that. So for me, it's now trying to raise a human being is trying to raise them in a way to where you help them understand that, hey, how can I be the best version of myself to be as competitive as I can be? So I have as smooth of a life as I can. So how are you finding that now as a parent in pouring into your kids to give them that advantage to be competitive.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know for sure. I think my biggest thing right now with my kids, I'm discovering what it's like to be a parent. I didn't have both parents growing up. So to me, I think the biggest thing that I like to do with them is just let them have fun and play. You know, obviously there's a lot that, you know, there's discipline involved, but that's probably more on the side of my wife with me. Like the times
Wait,
that
she's
I do
the disciplinarian.
Them, a lot more, dude, because I travel, dude, so I do a lot of things. So the time that I do, you know, obviously she's a nurturer, dude. I'm not saying that I don't speak my daughter, because I have before and I will. But for the most part, dude, I think I always just try to play. I try to play with my kids as much as I damn can, because I'm also at the same time that I build that relationship with them through playing, but also to just, you know, to build that bond with them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because, you know, the majority of the nature stuff, my wife does that, you know, from changing them to bathing them to you know, cooking and cleaning for them. And, you know, so.
Yeah.
So that's how it is for me, dude.
Yeah, of course. And you know, obviously with parenting styles, you just, as an authoritative parent, through research, we've realized that that is the most effective style of parenting, because authoritative parent is not, you're not just an authoritarian. An authoritarian is just a parent that's just all discipline, 100% hard nose. But authoritative is you're high in discipline, but you're also high in love, to where they get to play, they get to still love what's going on, but they know the boundaries. They know right from wrong. They know what you expect and the expectations there. What you don't want to be is the uninvolved, to where you're just like, all right, play, just do your thing. And then, you know, they end up getting in this, getting hurt, getting that, to where they don't understand boundaries, to where they become adults, big adults, and they don't understand boundaries.
And that's where daddy and mommy issues come about, is the fact that you never really gave that quality time. But dude, godly, that you just gave me the chills, cuz you're so right, dude. Well, let's get you. You're about to make me start thinking, puzzle me out of this damn shit.
Yeah, man. But we have a big weekend coming up. UFC 307 live from Salt Lake City. But as always, guys, UFC 307 preview is presented by Underdog Fantasy. Guys, for everything UFC 307 and football season, we want to give a huge shout out to our partners at Underdog Fantasy, the best place to play fantasy sports. As always, their pick'em game is as easy as choosing higher or lower on a variety of player stats like significant strikes, takedowns, and knockouts for UFC 307 Pereira versus Roundtree Jr. Underdog also has picks for every other major sport.
New users this week get a free deposit bonus up to $1,000, and both new and existing users get a Tyreek Hill free pick for Monday Night Football. Underdog is available in 30 plus states, including California, Texas, and New York. Use promo code P4P to sign up and support the show. Click the link below to get started. Now, let's get into UFC 307 preview.
Starting with these prelims. I mean, listen, Henry, I think this is a fantastic card. I'm being honest with you. Like, UFC is when they go to Salt Lake City, they're not playing. And I don't know if that's between Salt Lake City or the UFC, but they're not playing. They're really putting names on these cards. And yes, some of these names might not necessarily be people in positions to be fighting for a title the next fight, the next bout, but there's a couple of them on there. And then there's a lot of names that the fans are going to recognize and go, I want to see them fight. I need to see them fight. I haven't seen them fight in a while. I mean, look at that. We're starting with Court McGee taking on Tim Means. I feel like these guys have been in the UFC for at least 10 years. You know, Court McGee. Court McGee, a guy that I, before I got into the UFC, was watching him become Ultimate Fighter champion, dealing with his things in and out of the UFC, and having his battles. But man, a resilient guy, man. And he's still here and he's still doing it. So big shout out to Court McGee taking on the Dirty Bird, Tim Means? The Dirty Bird, yeah.
You remember that at Legacy Fighting Championships?
Tim Means, the Dirty Bird. So yeah, another fun style. I think this is gonna be a fun fight to watch, but incredible. And Henry, hey, we might as well just let's go who we're leaning towards in these fights. Obviously, both guys are very, very well versed with volume. They love to push the pace. They love to throw volume. But I think Court McGee's wrestling is just a bit better if he uses it. So,
I mean, look at the amount of fights from Tim Means and Court McGee. Dude, that's right. Like, you don't get that many. You don't get that many fighters with, you know, in the 30s, getting close to the 40s for Tim Means. Got it. 30s. I mean, he's got over 50 fights.
Right.
Unless my math is wrong, or 50 fights. Is that right?
What is it? What are we?
It's 33 plus 16 plus 1. Somebody, where's our producer at?
Yeah.
Can our producer, can our producer chime in?
Yeah, I think that's 50 fights, Henry. Good job with the math there. But yeah, that's, you know, these guys are both very, very experienced. If I had to pick, I like both guys. I like their style of fighting. I think it's a fun fight. I think Tim Means' Muay Thai is very, very good. Once he get in there close, his elbows, very good. But I think Court McGee might be able to pull that one out if he goes to his wrestling. So I will go Court McGee.
Yeah, I'm actually going to have to agree with you. I think the grappling, I think the fact that he's from Utah and he has a little bit of that grappling sense, I could see it rolling into his side. It's crazy that he's a first fight, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, this card is just loaded. I mean, that's the first fight on the prelims. Now you go to the second fight. You're talking about former champion, Carla Esparza, taking on Tisha Pennington, formerly Tisha Torres, but Tisha Pennington. This is a good fight. I've been hearing a lot of rumors that this might be Tisha's last fight, but, you know, nonetheless, Tisha has been a phenomenal competitor. Watching her win fights, watching her just compete for a long, long time. And Carla Esparza, has fought for the title two or three times. He lost the title to Zhang Wei Li, won it off of Rose Namajunas, but fought for the title back in the day against Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Actually, no, she was the champion because I think she was the first crowned champion after beating Rose Namajunas, the Ultimate Fighter finale. And then becoming the first crown champion and then losing the title next to Joanna champion, Jędrzejczyk. Shout out to Joanna. But man, that's an incredible fight. I'm going to lean towards Tisha Pennington, on this fight, because I think Tisha does very, very good with her movement. And when she's ready to go, she throws her combinations and she gets out of there. So I'm going to have to go with Tisha Pennington on this one.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna counterattack that. I think I'm gonna go with Carla just for the simple fact that she's been a 2-time strawweight champion of the world, and she's fought everybody. She's beat tougher competition, and you know, I think her wrestling, that's what she relies on. It's the most dangerous aspect of fighting. So I'm about to go with Carla Esparza.
I like that. You're not far off, but I just, you know, I feel how I feel. And then moving on, you go to the light heavyweights, big boys. This fight, I believe, was rescheduled because I believe OSP was sick or something like that. Don't quote me on it, but OSP taking on Ryan Spann. Both guys very explosive. Both guys kind of lull you to sleep and then they explode on pause. Both guys are extremely explosive. This is going to be an incredible fight. I do think somebody gets the stoppage here because I both guys aren't necessarily known to just kind of fight. Well, especially Ryan Spann, I don't think is really known to just fight to a decision. So you can potentially expect a finish here. But if I had to pick, I would lean towards Ryan Spann. I think an in shape Ryan Spann has proven to be able to go in there and get the job done.
Yeah, you know what surprises me, Kamaru, is like, look at like the last three cards. These are all vegetables. It's like the UFC trying to get rid of all of them. Like, out with the old, in with the new. It's like, you know, from Carla Esparza to Ovissa St. Prude. I mean, to Court McGee. I mean, Jesus. But yeah, I'm gonna go with OSP. I think he's a vet. He's got a lot more. Dude, look at the amount of feist these guys have. Right. It's ridiculous, man. It surprises me. But I'm gonna go with OSP. I think he's, you know, he back in the day, I mean, obviously John Jones did beat him. But he did go to decision with John Jones, and that says a lot about the dude.
Yeah, OSP is very, I think, is one of the, just has a very dangerous left side of his body. His left hand is very dangerous. That left kick is very, very dangerous. And so, yeah, it's tough. But I think Ryan Spann just might be able to have more tools to get that decision, to get that victory. So I'm going to go with Ryan Spann on that one. And then we move up to Cesar Almeida taking on Ihor Pretoriak. I don't know too much about Ihor, but we know that Cesar Almeida standing up, his stand-up is very, very good and is legit. And judging by his loss to Kapilov, I think there is a clear-cut path to a victory against a guy like Cesar Almeida. I don't think you just want to go in there and stand with the guy and trade with him. I think you look to mix things up and potentially get him down. How many fights does Ihor have?
He's got 26 fights. He's 20 and 6. But then look at Cesar Almeida. I wonder if he's biting too much what he could actually chew. I mean, he's 5-1. You know, like all of his fights have been, I mean, Dana White Contender Series, two of his last fights have been in the UFC. And then finally he, you know, Kabalov went in there and actually wrestled them. So if Ihor is able to put that same game plan, I know he saw something. I just find it ironic that he's fighting somebody with 26 fights. But, I mean, if you believe he could take him out, then
no,
he's a good Henry, buddy of he's a good buddy of mine.
I won't let you do that. I won't let you do that, Henry. I can't let you get away with that. You know, I remember us breaking down Cesar Almeida taking on Roman Kapilov, and I remember you saying, "Oh man, Cesar Almeida's he has a win over Alex Pereira. Cesar Almeida's his kickboxing is legit. It's crazy." So he has a lot of experience in fighting. So let's not downplay him now just because he's 5-1 and say, oh, he's biting up more than he could chew because he's fighting a guy that's 20-6 or something. No, he's a competitor, Henry. Don't do
that. No. Yeah, no, of course, but 100%. What I'm saying, though, because even Kabalov had a lot more fights than him. Like after right. you lose, you do have to learn from that. So I come more from that aspect. I don't come from the aspect of him just saying that, you know, that he's not ready. He's like, dude, you're fighting guys that are vets and experienced, 26 fights versus 6 fights. In other words, he has 20 more fights in him. But if Ihor cannot take him down, he's in trouble.
Absolutely.
I'm going with Cesar Almeida. I'm going with Cesar Almeida, yeah.
All right. With that being said, I'm going with Ihor. I think out of those 26 fights, Ihor, you probably should be smart enough to know that if I'm fighting a guy that is going to beat me with the stand-up, I'm going to change levels. Even if I have to dive from Waco, Texas, all the way to San Diego, I'm going to grab that leg and take him down and potentially get the win like his previous opponent just did. So, yes, I'm going to go with Ihor. Now, we're going to move on to our next fight. We've got Austin Hubbard taking on Alexandra Hernandez. This is a fantastic fight. Austin Herbert, a guy that actually has trained with out there in Denver, Colorado. Alexander Hernandez, I believe, also trains in Denver, Colorado. I think both of these guys are Denver, Colorado natives. One trains, I think, maybe Factory X. And Factory X. Look at my memory. Good. No, Austin Herbert comes down and trains with it used to be Elevation Fight Team. I don't know what name it is now. Maybe Forge. I who knows? But down there with the guys down there in Denver. And Austin is very, very, very talented. So is Alexander Hernandez. So this, I think the matchmakers, man, this is a fantastic fight to put together here.
But you notice this card, they're putting vets against vets. Again, this card surprises me, but I like it.
I do
because
too.
Because it's more of an even playing field, even though, you know, they're putting vets with vets, which is actually cool. Right. Similar records in some way, but I'm going to be cheering for Alexander Hernandez. I haven't kept up with him too much, right. But I do believe that, you know, that if he can, if Alex Hernandez can, I mean, he could potentially knock him out, man. He's had some knockout rules in his past, and hopefully gets lucky again.
Lucky again. Wow. Wow. I'm going to go with my dog, Austin Hubbard. I think Austin is a fantastic fighter. Switch stance, you know, can get you to work with the left or the right hand, left or the right leg. So I'm going to go with Austin Herbert in that fight. Moving on, we've got Marina Rodriguez taking on Yasmin Lucindo.
Yasmin.
Well, we know what that is. That's Yasmin right there. That's my girl, Yasmin, you know, doing her thing. Yeah, Lucindo. This is a fantastic fight. Obviously, everyone knows that I'm a fan of Marina Rodriguez. A really, really good stand-up, really good Muay Thai, but Lucindo is no joke. It's no joke. She's really tough, very gritty, good combination. This is a really, really good fight. Really, damn good fight. I'm going to have to go with, it's hard to pick against, even though I think Lucindo is legit, it's hard to pick against Marina Rodriguez. I just love the chick. I love her fighting style. And just a super nice girl. So I'm gonna lean towards Marina Rodriguez. She's still chasing that title shot though. So I'm gonna lean towards her.
Yeah, no, for sure. 100%. I'm with you on this one, Kush. I think Marina has fought the who's as well. And I think when you get two Brazilians that tend to fight against each other, it comes down to grit. And they're both gritty, but if I have to lean towards somebody who I've personally have trained with in the past, I'm going to go with Marina Rodriguez. I think she has a lot of potential. I think if she re-sparks that fire once again, I do believe she could be a potential title contender.
You train with her, Henry?
Yeah, I train with her out in Brazil. Yeah.
Put it on you?
Nah, you kidding me, dude? She don't want equal rights, dude. You want equal rights, Kamaru? You kidding me?
Yeah.
One minute.
I love it. All right, moving on to our next bout, and that just goes to show you how stacked this card is. You've got Wonderboy Thompson taking on Joaquin Buckley as the featured prelim. Both individuals are ranked welterweights, and they are the featured prelim. I think this is a fun fight. It's a very, very fun fight. It's obviously a fight in my division. And it's crazy how, like even though Wonderboy is, what, 41? This man will still put hands on a lot of guys in that division. So yeah. It's who's willing to actually stand with him and trade hands? I don't think there's a lot of people willing to do that. I'm going to keep it straight up. I'm fighting you. I'm going to take you down and beat you up. I'm not letting you.
you're talking about with either one of these cats.
Yeah, I'm not letting. Yes, of course. Joaquin Buckley.
I love this matchup.
Very explosive. Very explosive southpaw. He's rounded out his game a little bit. He will take a shot and take you down if he has to. But Wonderboy, man, cutting angles and putting combinations together, ending with a kick to your face. Yeah, Wonderboy's not the guy you let stand there and start spinning on you for sure. So.
Yeah,
I love this fight. I could see if Joaquin Buckley does not turn into a wrestler here, I see Wonderboy getting the victory.
Yeah, he's gonna have to turn into a wrestler. You know, Steven Wonderboy Thompson, he's so dangerous, man. Or he's annoying to fight. If you don't understand that distance game, if you understand a little bit of the moving out, the lateral movements, you won't catch him, dude. So if the fight does come down to just striking, you know, I got to go with Steven Thompson. It's rare for me to pick somebody that could really outstrike that dude, because unless you're kicking his legs or you're using your fakes and fakes, to potentially, you know, lure him into something to catch him. But I don't think Buckley is that guy. I don't think he is that guy. But I will say this about Buckley. He is training with Nick Simmons, man. And Nick Simmons is, I know he has probably a game plan for maybe him to wrestle, but I don't know, man. I'm gonna think about this.
The East
Lansing really
Strangler.
The East Lansing Strangler. He strangled the hell out of me, dude. did you ever see that wrestling match, Kamaru?
I think I saw the result. I never saw the full match.
Oh, you gotta watch it, bro.
Did
we went at it, bro.
Did he catch you in that front headlock?
he caught me in it, but I also freaking turned his ass too, man. It was such a good match. It was the best match of the Olympic trials in 2012.
Right, right. Oh, you know? I do remember him. Was that in Iowa City?
Yeah, Iowa City. Mm. We got a standing ovation by the time we got done fighting. But you know what, dude? I gotta take that back. Just because of Nick Simmons, I'm gonna go with Buckley. I think he's gonna bring that stuff in, and I think Nick Simmons is playing a big influence on him. And if he took me out, he can train somebody else and take somebody else out. So I'm gonna go with Buckley.
Okay, I want to say Buckley, but I think Wonderboy is due for a win.
Yeah, I get it.
He's due for a win here, and because I to be honest with you, if he doesn't get a win here, I don't know where what's next for Wonderboy if he doesn't get a win here. So I can see Wonderboy going in and pulling this win out and definitely maybe having a little bit of massage left, a little bit of tread left in those tires to maybe ascend back to the top of the division.
Yeah, but so I will like say Wonderboy. This. The only thing that kind of that's sketchy is he is 40 Juan. You know?
He is, but... Man, that doesn't seem to be slowing him down when it comes to the striking. Of course, we don't know the injuries that he's dealt with, that he's dealing with, but I feel like just on his feet, it's very, very difficult, dude, to be able to, Kobe, to Kobe fight a guy like that.
Kobe coming to you, picking on dude so hard, dude.
Kobe was picking on him?
Oh, yeah. Talk about that. He's a molester. He's got his, like, he's got his bus full of kids. Hey. Anyways, I really don't care who wins that fight, but you know, Stephen Wonderboy, he really is the, what is it,
NMF.
MMF.
Nicest mother effer. Yeah, that's what that is. Anyways, moving on. Wow. And they also have Roman Dolidze taking on Kevin Holland in the middleweight. I believe that's a middleweight matchup. So I guess Kevin Holland has had enough of getting down to that welterweight division, and he's back up to that middleweight division. Which, to be honest, Kevin Holland is one of those guys that can do it. He can go up. He can come down. Can go up.
Yeah, he's tall.
He's tall. He's rangy. He's lanky. He can make the weight at welterweight. And looked great. He looked great at welterweight. I mean, he's got a couple finishes down there. So I'm all for it, whichever he goes. I think this is a very dangerous fight here for Roman Dolidze, because Kevin Holland is known. Roman is... excellent jiu-jitsu and very tough and gritty stand-up. But as far as the in-between, the wrestling, to be able to control that, to get the fight to the ground, I think he might struggle a little bit in that area, because we saw it in a fight where he fought a Nasruddin Imavov. He just couldn't get the fight down. He looked like he had an adrenaline dump and just could not get the fight down to the ground, to where he ultimately suffered a loss in that fight. But Kevin Holland is just not one of those guys that you kind of let hang around, man, because he's just long and wiry, and he'll hit you with something that'll put you down. At one point, honestly, I'm just like, I think it's Kevin Holland and what's his name? Johnny Walker competing for the most awkward finishes in MMA, because they get you out of there with something that you don't even expect. So I love this fight, and if I had to pick, I'm going to lean towards Kevin Holland in this, because I think he's just a wild card.
Yeah, no, 100%. I'm with you, and especially that I don't know that much about Roman Dolidze. I mean, he doesn't have that many losses, bro.
No, he's got you good know, jiu-jitsu. Really good jiu-jitsu.
But how are his takedowns? Is his takedowns?
That's where I think he struggles a bit. That's the iffy part. Yes.
Is he Georgian?
Yes, he's from Georgia. Roman's a really, really nice guy, really cool guy, tough, gritty set, good stand-up. And great, good jiu-jitsu on his back. I mean, he's almost took a couple of legs home from some guys.
They must, yeah. Kevin Holland, I think Kevin Holland has gone better too, man. I'm going to have to go with Kevin Holland as well. I think Kevin can get to his feet. I think if Roman Dolidze doesn't have good entries, Kevin Holland's, he did his best to get Hamza, but dude, that was also against Hamza. You know, he ended up getting choked out, but dude, he fought his ass off for the whatever 2 minutes that he was there with them. So I think he's learned from that, Kamaru.
You know, Kevin Holland has wins over Jacare Souza.
Right,
Kevin Holland has wins over what's his name? Ponzinibbio. Has a finish over Ponzinibbio. Has, I mean, just a lot of crazy a lot of crazy wins and fights here. Michael Chiesa, submission win over Michael Chiesa. Finished Santiago.
Split decision. Split decision to Jack Della Maddalena?
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Submitted my, his last outing, Michael. I mean, this guy has racked up fights here. I believe at one point he was the guy that was fighting the most in the Apex and was just racking up fights and fights and fights. So, man, in such a short time, look at how many UFC fights a guy like Kevin Holland has had. I mean, that's a big paycheck. Hey, Kevin. He's living nice over there. He got that, you know, he's worked. He's definitely earned it. So I'm going to lean towards him in that fight.
Yeah, that's.
Who are you thinking? You going?
No. Make it two. I'm gonna go with Kevin Holland as well.
Kevin Holland. Okay, and then our next fight in our main card, we've got a humongous fight here with title implications here. You've got Caitlin Vieira taking on Kayla Harrison. I mean, at this point, we kind of have to say the phenom in the women's division. There's a lot of humongous and big expectations for a lady like Kayla Harrison. I mean, she's proven it. She came in first fight. They didn't give you anyone easy. They gave you the former champion in Holly Holmes, arguably one of the most decorated female combat sports athlete out there. And you went out there and made quick work of Holly Holmes. And so I think if I had to pick, I'm going to lean for sure towards Kayla Harrison. I think she's got the three components. She can strike if she has to stay there and strike with you. But her wrestling and grappling are just second to none when she gets you down on the ground. Even though Caitlin Vieira is very seasoned down there, and Caitlin Vieira is tough, very, very tough, very gritty. She's proven it. But I have to lean towards Kayla Harrison here.
Yeah, I don't know for sure, man. Well, this is a tricky one, Kamaru. It's hard, man. It's hard to bet against a girl like Kayla Harrison. But I think out of all the girls right now at 135 pounds that could match her strength, because, you know, Vieira's a judo black belt as well. And in my opinion, she has better hands than Harrison. So it's going to come down to the wrestling, and I do feel like Kayla Harrison is going to bring the wrestling in, and that's just what's going to change it. But if Vieira can keep it on her feet, I think Kayla could be in trouble, dude. Her striking is no joke, man. She's got lateral movement. She comes from she trains out there with Jose Aldo. If Kayla cannot take her down, dude, it's gonna lean more towards Vieira's side. Yeah. But because of the wrestling, I gotta go with the 2-time Olympic champ.
Wait, Kayla. You said all that, and then you said all that, and then you're gonna flip and say, yeah, I go with the two because you.
No, I don't want to go against Kayla, dude. It's a fucking dude dealing with her is a fucking pain, dude.
You scared now?
There's too much ego, dude, between both of us combined, dude. So
that's true.
I'm gonna have to go with the 2-time Olympic champion because of the wrestling, not because of the judo, but because of the wrestling. But I do believe that Vieira's probably the toughest fight for her stylistically because she brings in the judo, and she can match that, and because of the striking.
Right, I get that, but I don't like how you kept throwing that in there. You know, she's a judo black belt too. I don't like how you kept throwing that in there. That's like saying you're wrestling a high school state champion. Like, you're Olympic champion, Henry. And I don't like how you kept throwing that in there. I think that's the difference in levels here. You talking about two-time Olympic champ. Not once, but yeah. Two-time. And yeah, yes,
I don't know. Come Vieira, on. Ever since I lost to Marab, dude, I'm changing my tune now. Come on.
Okay, no, but of course we had Kayla Harrison in studio. Fantastic interview, getting to know her a little bit more, and just being a mommy, being juggling life now with all the big expectations that's expected of her, and being in studio, Henry. That one was one you probably was glad that you weren't around for, because she came in ready to shoot. She was, where's Henry? Where's Henry? She came ready for you, Henry. But that's going to be dropping this Thursday, so make sure you tune in. A fantastic interview with, you know, shall I say the winner of this bout between Caitlin Vieira and Kayla Harrison is probably going to be the next in line for that title shot. But moving on up, we've got Jose Aldo taking on Mario Bautista.
40 fights for Aldo. I mean, think about that. 40 freaking fights. Like, before I started fighting, before I won the Olympics, I was watching Jose, a.k.a. Baldo, you know, on television. And I just felt like, dude, that dude is still around. He's 38 years old. Like, he's not as old as we all thought he is. Because he was in the game for so long. I remember him in the WEC days. But if I can break this one down, Mario Bautista is a young cat. He is a big 35er. His conditioning, I mean, obviously, Al Escobar is a really good trainer, my physical therapist. He trains him. He's trying to condition the killer gorilla. Like, the strength factor is there, but I just don't know if Mario's wrestling is going to be enough to take out a guy like Aldo, because if it is, then Mario's figured out a code that a lot of wrestlers haven't. So for that reason, I got to go with Jose Aldo. I think there's too much heart in Bautista for him to go down, but I got Jose Aldo by decision.
I think it's an incredible fight. I have to go with Jose Aldo, because I just think Aldo is solid enough to where you have to be exceptional. You have to be exceptionally good at something in order to be able to throw him off. Like a guy like Marab, of course, Marab had to grind that one out and in order to get him. And so it's Jose Aldo's not just a slouch. He's a guy that, I mean, just look at how many belts does he have sitting in his house. Jesus. Jeez. Yeah. I mean, he was Brown. Champ. He was just sitting on gold. At one point, he was fighting once a year because it was just like no one for him, you know. And Jose Aldo is still that. He's still that solid to where if you're not careful, he touched that body. Listen to me, Henry. He touched that body with that combination. He gets you out of there. One thing about him that I think he's not kicking as much as he used to, because that used to be a huge weapon that everyone was just afraid of. Everyone knew you took a leg kick from Jose Aldo, chances are you might go down. But he hasn't been kicking as much. Hopefully he brings that back this time. I don't know if he's dealing with some injuries or whatnot, but hopefully he brings that back, because I think that's something that sets him apart, that makes him exponentially more dangerous.
Moving
on, we get to the co-main event of the evening. We've got the women's bantamweight title. We've got Raquel Pennington taking on Juliana Pena. I feel like this is one of those fights where you can't, it's difficult to pick a winner, because Amanda Nunes versus Juliana Pena, and we saw what happened there. So with Juliana being able to go in there and put on those two amazing fights with Amanda Nunes, I think it's, man, you can never count her out. But fortunately, she's been out for over 2 years now. 2 years, yeah. Henry. What do you see happening? How do you see her coming back?
Raquel Pennington has been gone. She's been out for that long, or Juliana Pena?
No. Juliana Pena has been out for 2 years. Raquel Pennington won the title, I believe, 8 months ago, not too long ago. So, January.
Oh, that's a good one, dude. Because I personally like them both, dude. But I will say this, bro. I thought Myra Bueno Silva was going to beat, Raquel Pennington.
We thought so,
too. And obviously, dude, actually being gone for quite some time and then coming back, dude, it does play some. But it does play a role in how you feel. But, you know, Juliana Pena is a freaking dog, dude. She is a dog. But I just feel like, you know, they're closer in age, closer in size. Their styles are somewhat identical they got similar body styles, but man, no? Dude, I'm overanalyzing here, but similar sizes, you know, 5'7" to 5'6". Kind of similar, inch and a half inch reach advantage for Juliana Pena. I got a significant strikes, almost the same. takedowns, but see, that's where things change, man. The takedowns is what kind of gets me, dude. I don't know, man. Like I like Rocky. I know both of them, but if I had to rock with them, I'll flip the coin on this one. I'm gonna go with the underdog. I'm gonna go with Juliana Pena, even though it's been a couple years. I think
Juliana Pena is a complete dog.
Yeah. She beat the GOAT.
She beat the GOAT.
GOAT is what DC said. DC said that Amanda Nunes, she choked her out.
Yeah. I think Raquel Pennington is just a little bit too solid, but that she does have a couple of fights where she comes in and just looks like she doesn't really want to be there sometimes. And I know that's in the past, so I'm hoping that stays in the past, because if the Raquel Pennington, the bantamweight champion, now, because once you become that champion, you get that extra oomph behind you, knowing that you are the best in the world. If that Raquel Pennington shows up, I think she's just a little too solid with her stand-up, with her Muay Thais, her knees, just really solid there in the clinch. Because I'm telling you right now, Juliana Pena does really good work there, and she's going to be looking to get into the clinch, get her up to the cage, get down to a single, maybe pull her down, drag her down, or use that body lock. And Raquel Pennington has shown that she can be good in those type of positions. So I'm going to have to go with Raquel Pennington here, even though Juliana Pena is a complete dog. And I wouldn't be surprised if she comes in and pulls up that upset.
Yeah, no, 100%. I'm kind of leaning towards what you just said, but that's okay, man. I'll be the devil's advocate here, dude. I'll go for Juliana Pena.
All right. So brings us to our main event of the evening, a fight that shocked everybody how this came about. But you've got Alex Pereira. We got to say the king of Brazil right now, because this man putting on for Brazil. It seems like this man fights every couple of months. He's putting on for Brazil. He riding Lamborghinis now. He in big mansions. Hey, Alex Pereira. Shama, brother.
Shama.
Taking on the very, very dangerous Khalil Roundtree. And this, before I even let go, I'm just going to say this, Henry. If you're one of those people at home who thinks Khalil Roundtree has no chance, you're smoking.
Yeah.
You're smoking.
I agree. You're so damn right. Unless Khalil, please don't do it. Unless he's another one of these dudes that just wants to strike, then he's fucked.
You know what?
But no. But Henry, he has, dude.
I disagree.
I tell you what, John Wood is a great coach, man. John Wood he understands MMA, and I know he understands game planning and tactics. And if he follows John Wood's plan, I can see Khalil winning that fight, but more likely, I don't know if he has that ability. I'm kind of cheering for him just because everybody's counting him out, and because obviously Pereira did not fight Ankulaev, so I wouldn't be surprised either. But man, how do you doubt a guy that, you know, Shama, a guy that's just getting guys that are gonna strike with him? So I mean, I gotta go with Alex Pereira, dude. Unfortunately, I wish I could see him fight Ankulaev. Then we can really kind of debate and talk about who's more likely to win. But the fact that there's cherry picking going on, I don't like it.
I 100%. I feel what
am
you're
I telling
saying.
The truth, Kush, or yeah, am I?
Yeah,
am I
you're,
should
yeah,
I?
Yeah, you're. I wouldn't say cherry picking, because at the same time, it's not Alex Pereira that just makes the decision of who he's going to fight. You know, the company's is back there.
I would have probably liked to see him maybe fight Smith.
Anthony Smith?
Anthony Smith. Doesn't Anthony Smith have a win against Khalil? Was it vice versa?
I think so.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I think I'm going to shock everybody here. I think you're wrong. What you saying? Everyone just stands and strikes with him and they lose. I think you're wrong. I think Khalil Roundtree shocks the world.
Knocks him out.
Shocks the world. I think
okay,
we
knocks
are
knocks him out.
We are in a time right now that we have Utah's crazy.
Yes. You're right.
Yes. Crazy things happen in Utah. And look at our champions right now. So I think Khalil Roundtree is extremely explosive, extremely powerful. His Muay Thai is incredible. When he's launching them, he gonna find that he gonna find your face. That the problem is his pacing. When Khalil lets go, he lets everything go. And how is he going to do in round 3, 4, and 5 if the fight somehow gets there? That's my only concern. But in those first two rounds, I tell you, I'm telling you right now, Khalil Roundtree is as dangerous as anybody that Alex Pereira has fought. I'm telling you right now. Yeah. And with his story, with everything that he's been through, man, man, what a way to cap that off. And just by letting the world know and letting the future generations know that You can start here and completely change your life and end here. And he said it all the time. He used to drive by that billboard and said, he said to himself, one day he's going to be on that billboard. And he said when he was extremely overweight and depressed and dealing with all of the mental health issues, and now completely flipping his life where Khalil Roundtree could potentially be your light heavyweight champion of the world.
Shit. Honestly, bro, like the fact that you brought up a lot of good points, and there's something about Utah that's fucking that's not fair about it. I wouldn't be surprised now that she said all that, Kamaru. But I do believe because Khalil, I'm gonna go back to John Wood. If he follows his game plan, I think he can scrape off the victory. Because you're right, dude. That dude's no slouch, man. I mean, yeah, were we disappointed a little bit? Yeah, because you know Khalil could have gone through you know two or three more guys before getting to the title, but. Sometimes when you're an underdog and you go out there, you actually fight, you tend to take more risks. Like who gives a fuck if you lose? And I feel like if he becomes one of those, there's two ways of doing it. He throws a kitchen sink out, finds that chin, or he uses the grappling and is able to take him down. But I think personally he has two game plans in this fight. And I think he should rely on both.
Henry, I think they're both in the same spot. If we talk about complete mixed martial artists, Alex Pereira, Khalil Roundtree are similar, very, very similar in a way. Am I wrong? They can both strike very, very well. But if you say, okay, there's an area that's not as strong as everywhere else, are they similar here?
Yeah.
They are. Now, Alex Pereira, of course, is a little more seasoned as far as his stand-up being more complete. And Alex ain't going to get tired. Alex will start from start to finish. Alex Pereira is still going to be in that fight. And so that's the only edge that I will give to Alex Pereira here. But if they're both slugging, they're both thumping, I think Khalil Roundtree has as good of a chance as anybody in that division. So I listen. Alex Pereira right now, I think, is the king of Brazil. I mean, he's doing his thing. And I like Alex Pereira. But just to shock the world, I think Khalil Roundtree could get this done.
Damn, dude, I think, if this shit does everything that you're saying, Kamaru, you're about to go viral, my friend.
I'm telling you. But that's going to be a fantastic main event. Say whatever you want. This is a fantastic card. A lot of veterans on this card. A lot of names on this card to where that place, I think, is going to be packed early on. I remember fighting in Utah. I remember walking out and going, yo, these people are on top of me. There's so many people in here. It's a fantastic arena. And I can't wait to watch it. UFC 307 live from Salt Lake City. Khalil Roundtree taking on Alex Pereira. You also got Caitlin Vieira taking on Kayla Harrison, and not to mention the women's bantamweight title, Raquel Pennington taking on Juliana Pena. It's going to be a fantastic night of fights. And guys, don't forget, we've got a fantastic interview coming this Thursday with the amazing, amazing Kayla Harrison. And as always, guys, make sure you like, you comment, and you subscribe to the podcast. We have so many, and I mean so many great episodes coming up. Make sure you comment too. Let us know who you want to see on the pod. I want to know. You let me know. But as always, I am the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman.
Henry Cejudo, a.k.a. Triple C.
We are out.